Good morning, everyone. We are in a week four of a 5-week series called Five Finger Faith. We talked about so far on week one. We talked about the importance of hearing the voice of God and how we do that. And in week two, we spoke about reading God's Word and the importance of that. And then last week, Pastor Nate walked us through studying the importance of studying God's Word. Now today, we're going to talk about memorizing Scripture. Now, I hope no one runs out of here when I say memorizing Scripture, because I realize this is a subject that somebody, you know, like when I was asked, I was thinking exactly what maybe some of you are thinking. When I was asked to preach on the importance of memorizing Scripture, I was thinking something like, I really struggle with this myself. My memory is pretty terrible. Trust me, I know this isn't something we necessarily want to do, and for some of us, we think we don't even have the ability to do. Now, I'll be honest, when I was in my 20s and 30s, I prided myself on having a pretty good memory. At my work, I was known as a guy that can show up to a meeting and never bring a notepad. And I was always able to remember very detailed tasks that were given. I'm a network engineer, and we deal with a lot of details. And I had this very good ability to memorize everything that my boss would ask me to do. But then something happened. I turned 40, and I don't know exactly what occurred in my head, but like a switch turned off, and I started to forget a lot of things going to meetings. And I realized I needed to start bringing a notepad. So now I'm always writing notes. And now I'm just a few months away from turning 45, and Pastor Nate asked me to preach on Bible memorization. So thanks, Nate. But I admit, I do my best at memorizing Scripture because I know how important it is to my spiritual life. Chuck Swindoll said this regarding memorizing Scripture: I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing Scripture. No other exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper and more effective, your attitudes and outlook on life will begin to change, your mind will become more alert and observant, and your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. Wow. Now, if Pastor Chuck Swindoll is correct about this, which I think he is, I'd say memorizing Scripture is something every follower of Jesus should take very serious if they desire to grow spiritually and face this life head on with confidence in our walk with God. But now back to that switch that I said turned off in my brain. I think we make excuses for ourselves that we have trouble or can't memorize Scripture. For instance, as I said, I'm too old, or I'm too young. It's too hard. I've always had a terrible memory. I don't even understand what I just read, let alone memorizing it. The list of excuses can go on and on and on. And the truth is, though, we memorize stuff all the days of our lives. For instance, the children that were just up here, and now they're downstairs. We expect our children to memorize their addition, subtraction, and multiplication tables for school so they can move on to the next grade level. We memorize, like, the rules of the road or road signs and what they mean to drive safely. Now, my wife would say that I have a lot of work to do in that area, but we also memorize a lot of useless stuff, too, like our favorite song lyrics. Now, how many of you sing along in your car word for word when your favorite song comes on the radio? Now, admit it. How many of you make up your own lyrics to a line of a song thinking it's the correct lyrics? I do that all the time. I was going to sing parts of a few songs as an example of how we memorize things, but again, I didn't want anyone running out of here, so maybe Erin can lead a karaoke contest later. I don't know. I'll leave that up to her. But what about commercials or advertisement jingles that come on TV or radio. We memorize those all the time. Here's an example. Watch this video and see if you can, in your head, remember or come up with the end lyric to the video, that the songs that this guy's playing as far as commercials and jingles.
After these messages, we'll be right back. Oh, I wish I were an Oscar Mayer wiener. Give me a break, break me off a piece of that juicy fruit, it's gonna move ya. I'm a big kid now, but the very best part of all is there's a counter on this wall. The best part of waking up is crossfire. You'll get caught up in the meow, 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 meow. You don't always die from tobacco. That big red freshness lasts right through ya. Your fresh breath goes on and on. I'd like to buy the world a Coke. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba, I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby. I want my $5 foot long. Fresh goes better with Mentos. Fresh is full of Campbell's tomato soup. Possibilities, Hot Pockets, rice, a-roni, a San Francisco F-R-E. That spells free. Creditreport.com, baby.
Now, I'm sure we can play hundreds of more of these commercials and jingles, and you'd be able to sing along with them. You see, we memorize even quotes from famous people, like presidents. President Roosevelt, during World War II, said, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." Martin Luther King, there are some people that have all of Martin Luther King's speech memorized, because it was a great speech. Now here's one from one of the wisest masters in the universe, Yoda. He says, "Fear is a path to the dark side. Fear leads to anger. Anger leads to..." Come on, Trevor. No, suffering. Hate, you need to study up on Yoda some more. Hate leads to suffering. Now, how many of you have someone in your family who says each line in a movie before the character on the screen does? You see, the reality is our excuses for not memorizing scripture is not whether we can or can't, it's whether we will or won't. Now I am sounding like Yoda, do or do not. There is no try. So, not, Yoda's just a movie puppet. But anyway, let me get back on track. But if you think about it long enough, how do we remember all these lyrics to songs, commercial jingles, lines from a movie character or a puppet? It's really about repetitiveness. We hear the words from the messages or songs all the time, and our brain is an amazing receptacle to suck in these words and lyrics and ingrain them in our mind. Now, don't you think that God our Father wants his words ingrained in our mind even more so? Of course he does. But not because he wants us to win some Bible trivia contest or show how biblically smart we are. God wants his word ingrained in our minds so it can be written on our hearts. The reason is so we can know when he is speaking to us, to remind us to stay on the right path, for instance, when we're tempted to go down the wrong one, to lead us back when we maybe have drifted away, or to continually remind us how much he loves us. He also desires his word to be written on our hearts so we know exactly the right thing to say to someone who may be in need of him or is in trouble or heartbreak. I love the New Living Translation of Jeremiah 31:33. God said this regarding his word. He said, "I will put my instructions deep within them and will write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people." This promise was given to the Israelites, but it was meant for all of us. Through this promise found in the Old Testament, God gave us his Holy Spirit to live in every follower of Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean that we do not have any responsibility in living out the instructions that God has given us. We just don't come to Christ one day and say, "Now that I'm saved, give me your Holy Spirit so I can live my life for you." You see, as we spoke about in the previous weeks, we need to hear his word, we need to read his word, and we need to study his word. But then, yes, we need to memorize his word. So through his word that we are transformed and that speaks into our heart. What good is it if we just read and study without allowing it to transform us? The Holy Spirit will then take those words we memorize, write them on our hearts, and continually work in us to make us more like Christ. So there are four main points that I want to go over today. And that is why it's important to memorize Scripture. The first point is for communion with God. The second point is for conformity to Christ. The third point was our daily triumph, helping us with our daily triumph over sin. And the last one is to provide comfort and counsel for people you love. I'll start with the first one as far as communion with God. This is just simply having fellowship with him. It helps us to have fellowship with him when we memorize Scripture. Or in simple terms, having a friendship with God. Now think about your best friend, husband, or wife. What do you think they want to hear from you most? They want to hear and know that you love them and how much you cherish them. They also want to hear how thankful you are for them. Now this is not some selfish desire on their part. It's what builds strong relationships. For example, when we express our love for one another, it brings joy, not just to the one that you love, but it also builds up that love inside of you for deeper, and it's a reminder to you, just as much as it's a reminder to them. Now, what if you woke up each morning with these words ingrained in your memory about God? It comes from Psalm 63:3. Your unfailing love is better than life itself. How I praise you. Now, what a reminder that is in our lives. When we have that scripture memorized and we keep waking up to that scripture every morning, you just can't help but praise God. Everything that comes into your path, whether it's life throwing you lemons or you have a trouble on the job or whatever it may be, someone gets sick, all those things are bad things that can happen. But when you have that in your heart, God's love is better than life itself, things don't seem as gloomy anymore. Now, sure, we can pick up, let me pull out my phone, I can pick up my phone here when I'm feeling down, and I can type in on my favorite Bible app, I'm feeling depressed, and a Bible verse will come up and give me some great scripture about depression or whatever it may be. And that's great. That's how we memorize scripture. I mean, that's ways that we can get scripture to memorize it. However, those words are written on your phone, not on your heart. So the point is as we're reading those words, we want to get those words on our heart so when we do find areas in life that bring us down and we can come up with a scripture like God's love is better than life itself and it's written on your heart, it makes all the difference in the world. Next point is conformity to Christ and how important it is to memorize scripture to help us conform to Christ. Now, the word conform in the dictionary simply means to act in accordance or in harmony with someone or something. It is usually followed up by complying or submitting. I realize the word submit can cause some negative feelings in someone, even when speaking of submitting to God. But remember what the word conform means from the dictionary from the definition I just gave you. It means to act in harmony with someone, not to be forced. I remember when my oldest son, Trevor, was about 2 years old, and I was just out of the military at the time, living in the Chicago area. Now, Aaron and I, being that we were just out of the military, we didn't have much money at that time. So we had to live with my parents for a while until I was able to make enough money to get us back on our feet. I'm sure Aaron really loved living with my parents for that time, didn't you? Yeah, it was the best. But I was very thankful that my parents let us live there. But anyway, my dad lived on the outskirts of the suburban Chicago, and he had 5 acres of land. And he also had this barn where he raised racing pigeons. Now, every morning, my dad would wake up, and Trevor alongside of him. Trevor was always up early with his grandfather. And My dad would walk out to his barn to take care of his pigeons, and as he's walking down to the barn, he would always walk pretty slowly with his arms crossed behind his back like this, and every once in a while, my dad would stop and look up in the sky, and I have no idea what he was looking at, but I think it may be a lost pigeon or something. I don't know. And he kept walking, and he'd pause every once in a while. So that was my dad's routine. But I was looking out the window one morning, and I noticed little Trevor was right behind my dad doing the same thing, step by step by step. And when my dad stopped and looked up, little Trevor would be looking up. That's conformity. That's conformity. It's built out of love. It's built out of watching someone that you respect, someone that you love. This is the kind of submission God desires for us to have in our hearts when it pertains to Jesus. Conformity, as I said, is obtained through love, to be like Christ. Now, is that submission? Yes, but no, it depends on how you look at it. Now, here is a verse we can memorize to help us conform to Christ. Memorizing Scripture causes us to take pause when looking up at the sky or down at a flower blooming, looking at a newborn baby, because we have a Scripture like this on our hearts. Through him all things were made. This is from John 1:3. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. You see, Scriptures like this on our heart, when we look at a newborn baby or something in nature, brings joy to our heart, helping us realize just how awesome God is. Also, if we memorize verses on how Jesus, for instance, treated people, and those scriptures are on our hearts, it helps us not walk past a person in judgment who may be entrapped in addictions, but to stop in love and compassion. Memorizing scriptures reminds us the love Christ has for his church and our responsibilities to it. Memorizing scripture reminds us how deep God's love is for us when we look into the eyes, for instance, of our daughter or son and realize, how can a love be even greater than this? And you have a scripture on your heart that says, God's love is greater than that. You see, having scripture on our hearts naturally leads us to become more like Jesus, more forgiving, more loving, more in awe of God. And the third benefit of memorizing Scripture is our daily triumph over sin. When we first come into a saving relationship with Jesus, we are pretty excited. After all, Jesus paid the full penalty for our sin and offers us forgiveness. And on top of this good news, we are now seen perfect in the eyes of God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, who covers our imperfections. We don't even have to do anything to earn this forgiveness. He just gives it to us through faith in him when we come to him for forgiveness. That's pretty awesome. However, we also know that God sent us his Holy Spirit. And for any true follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit begins a work in us and a work on our hearts. We may have been made perfect in the eyes of God because of Jesus, but we're certainly not perfect on the inside or outside in this life. God knows this, and we know this, if we're honest with ourselves, deep inside, that we're not perfect. Even as we trust that we're made perfect in the eyes of God because of our Savior. Now, if you think you're perfect, though, and are married, turn to your wife and try to tell her that, or your husband, with a straight face, and see if they can keep a straight face about that. Now, Living Hope Community is part of the Wesleyan denomination. If you've been around this denomination for any length of time, they take holiness pretty serious, and rightfully so. God says in the Old Testament to be holy as I am holy. Before you say, well, or think, well, that's in the Old Testament, it doesn't apply to us today because Jesus... But let me remind you, in the New Testament, 1 Peter 1:16, Peter said, "For it is written, be holy because I am holy." So I say it's something we should probably pay attention to. Now, these words for a believer can seem pretty daunting. It doesn't take long for a believer to understand that they are not Jesus. they are not perfect, and they are certainly not as close to being as holy as Jesus was. And if we're not careful in completely understanding what God meant by this, it can be easy for a Christian to give up and walk away from faith. God is not trying to place some impossible task in front of us, knowing that we're going to fail, living up into the holiness of Jesus Christ. What God is desiring for us to become is more like Jesus. We have an enemy to our souls that loves to tempt us to sin against God. No Christian is immune from temptation. Jesus wasn't even immune from temptation, yet he was without sin. Before Jesus started his public ministry, he went out into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. Now, he was pretty hungry and tired. We know Jesus prayed, and he prayed a lot. But that didn't stop the temptation from coming from the enemy. And it came to at a time when Jesus was most vulnerable. If Jesus was without sin, then how did he overcome the temptation? Let's pick up this encounter Jesus had with Satan in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4, starting in verse 3. It says, "The tempter came to Jesus and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Now, Satan didn't give up at this point. Satan went on to tempt Jesus some more. The enemy tempted Jesus with things that Jesus probably needed the most at the time. For instance, turning stones into bread. Now, come on. Now, we know Jesus was a man, but he was also God. He had this power to do this. It would have been very simple for Jesus to say to a stone, "Turn it into bread." Now, I know I'm not saying I'm anything we're like Jesus, but if I had that power that Jesus had, I'd probably turn it into a steak at that moment in time. Now, Jesus, though, understood the tricks of the devil. You see, the devil was trying to trick Jesus into submitting to him and not God the Father. So Jesus understood this, but yet that temptation had to be very strong for Jesus, because he's like, "Yeah, Satan, I do have this power to turn that rock into a piece of bread and I won't be hungry anymore." But Jesus didn't do that. What did he do? He quoted Scripture. You see, Jesus remembered the verses, for instance, from Psalm 119, 9 verse 11. "I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." If you're struggling with sin in your life, the best way to confront it is to conform to Christ. Again, conforming is doing what Jesus had done. And one of the things that he did was memorize Scripture. Now, don't make the excuse, "Well, Jesus is God." He was born as an infant, just as you were, and probably in a worse situation. He learned the Scriptures as a child, just like the children downstairs are doing. And he studied God's word. And he memorized it just for an encounter like this. Jesus didn't have the big scrolls as Satan is trying to tempt him and reading off the scrolls. He was quoting the Scriptures. And by the way, after a few tries, Satan fled. Scripture also promises us that Satan will flee when we resist. And we resist by using God's word or Scripture against the enemy. Now, am I saying we will become exactly like Jesus in this life just by memorizing Scripture alone? No. Jesus was a man, but he was also God. But Jesus gave us the example to follow. We will become more like Jesus, especially when the Holy Spirit takes these words that we memorize from Scripture and writes them on our heart. So I have a challenge for our church. And this applies to me, and it applies to all the pastors in this church as well. And we have a lot of pastors in this church. For a small church, that's pretty awesome. The challenge I have is, as we are getting ready to do this walk through the Bible, this flyover verse by verse of Scripture, find Scriptures if you're struggling with something, a sin or a struggle, find scriptures to memorize while praying. And don't give up. Even if you stumble, just keep at it. Be repetitive about it. Don't worry so much about the results at the time that you're doing this. Just trust in God as you memorize. Then I would love to hear your stories in a couple months on what God did in your life. We can have a Sunday morning here for testimonies if we follow through with this. And why I'm confident that we will have amazing stories to share if people take this serious is because we have an amazing God who promises us through his word we can overcome anything. Do you believe that? Amen. So take up this challenge with me. Now, speaking of sharing, this brings me to the last reason why we should memorize scripture, and that is to provide comfort and counsel to people you love. Now, some of you may know I minister to teens at the county juvenile detention center each week. We do Bible studies on Wednesday nights, and then on some Sunday mornings, I take turns preaching. Now, when you go to the jail the first time, you'll notice that the kids are all in different colored T-shirts. And what these colored T-shirts mean is that they're levels of privileges each kid has, the highest being a gold T-shirt. So as the kids behave or listen to the guards or is kind to somebody, they'll move up different levels. And as they move up, they get privileges such as they get to watch movies on a Friday night. So there's this one boy, he's 17 years old. He came to faith months ago. He's been in jail for quite a while now. He came to faith months ago, praise God for that. And he is always the first one at the Bible study. He's always the first one in church on Sunday morning. And he's, of course, has a gold T-shirt. And so he always asks these great questions. Well, about two Sundays ago, I was there, and as usual, this boy was the first one to walk into church, and he walked up and greeted me. I greeted him, and he had a blue T-shirt on. He was not, that was the first level T-shirt. He was no longer in a gold T-shirt. And I didn't say anything, but he said something. He goes, "Pastor Mike, I bet you're wondering why I no longer have my gold T-shirt." And I said, "Well, the thought crossed my mind, but that's your business. I wasn't going to ask." But he's like, "This is what's great about those kids in this jail. They're never afraid or ashamed to let you know what their struggles are and what their issues are." So it's really nice when you can sit down there and have a good heart-to-heart conversation. So he went on and told me how he lost his gold T-shirt. The morning before at breakfast, he said, he was sitting across the table with another boy eating breakfast, and he said, "This boy reached across the table and took my jelly off my plate." And he says, "Then I proceeded to knock the jelly out of his hand, and then," he said, "the boy reached across and grabbed my toast off the plate." And I'm like, "Huh." And he goes, "So you know what I did, Pastor Mike?" I'm like, "What?" He goes, "I took his orange." And then I said, "Hmm." And he goes, "And I started peeling his orange." And he goes, "And then he stood up with his fists in the air, and I stood up, and we were about to throw blows with each other, and thankfully the guard ran over, broke this situation up before they got into a fist fight. And the guard looked at the kid with the gold T-shirt, and granted, he's a Christian kid. He's really trying hard to have a changed life. So the guard looks at the kid with the gold T-shirt and said, "Give him back the orange you took." Now, the guard didn't see the other kid take the toast and the jelly. So this kid looked at the guard, looked at the other kid, and he looked at the orange, and he set the orange down on the floor and kicked it over to the other kid. Let me tell you something about juvenile detention center. When a guard tells you to do something, you do it. You do not question. You do not disrespect. And that's what this kid did. So after he told me this story, he goes, "So, Pastor Mike, that's how I lost my gold T-shirt." I was like, "Huh." So here I am as a pastor thinking to myself, what kind of advice can I give to this kid right now? Because I think he's trying to find some. And I'm sitting there, and my natural humanness tells me that other kid deserved what he got as far as getting his orange taken away. But for some reason, this verse that I had memorized, I'm not sure why I had it memorized, but I did. And it says, if one takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic from him. And when I said this verse to this 17-year-old boy, he looked at me with a weird look and said, what the heck does that have to do with this kid taking my toast and jelly? Now I'm really panicking because I'm going, okay, he's not getting it. Okay, so I followed that up with another question, and I turned it around and said, what if you would have just let him have, after he first took your jelly, what if you just gave him your toast? And the kid gave me the wisest answer that I was shocked at the answer he gave me, but it was funny. He says, I'd still have my gold T-shirt. And I'm going, and now I'm sitting here I just can't help but praise God, because not for because I had some great wisdom to give him, because my initial reaction was to give him the suggestion was just, you know, to he deserved it, but I didn't. I used scripture in this manner. So we also had a conversation about the scripture and how it benefited not only him if he would have gave him the toast, because he would have kept his T-shirt, but it would also have helped this other boy. Maybe he was more hungry, even though he was a thief. So, point is, I wouldn't recommend just throwing scriptures out there with no context, but trust in God to help you as you memorize those scriptures, to offer instructions with wisdom through the scriptures when someone is in need. You know, it's easy, again, to pull out your Bible app or your Bible and just throw out scriptures, but we don't always have that available to us. So we need to have it in our heart for certain situations. God loves people. We have the privilege to share God's words with other people in a manner of love. That's what Christ Church is here for. So the last point as far as how we memorize Scripture is simple. Just read it and be repetitive about it. And if you don't think you're seeing much fruit through that, just trust in God that he will have a situation when you will need that scripture, whether it's for your life or someone else's life that is in need. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you that you have given us your written word, that we can have these words written on our heart. We understand, Lord, that you, and praise you for the given us your Holy Spirit to help us in situations like this. It's not just the fact that we're memorizing your word just to show that we can have these words memorized. It's more that you can take your Holy Spirit, write those words on our heart to affect the way we live and help others who need you. And I pray, Lord, as we move along with this Bible study that we've got coming up and this flyover view of Scripture, Father, that you would just help remind us of the importance of reading your word, studying your word, and memorizing your word for situation, fathers, that we find ourselves in, whether it's personal things or whether it's things such as this boy in jail. And I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will just continue to do a work in all of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.